Yes, a little Bruno Mars. Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy. And today's topic is fitness, love, and marriage. I want to right now thank all of the listeners who are tuned in to our live show today. Before we do get started, I would also like to introduce our guest for today. So we have the fitness guru, the health coach. She's going to help you guys stay on your exercise regimen and continuously developing those eating habits during those winter months. As you guys know, we do fall off a little bit during the winter months. I am guilty of that. So we have in the studio with us today, Miss Elizabeth Colin. Hey, Elizabeth. Thank you for joining us today. And also, we have joining us today the wife coach and author, Lakia Brandberg. How are you today, Lakia?
Happy Thursday. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining Motivate My Life Radio today. We are excited to have you. I know that we have a lot of women out there that have a lot of questions on marriage. And got ladies, today we're going to talk. We're going to talk openly. We're going to be candid. Nothing is off the table. We're not going to sugarcoat.
Hello.
You guys know how we do when you're talking to your girlfriend. Sometimes you don't tell them the real truth.
Right. So, not today.
Definitely not today. So, guys, with that being said, I want to go ahead and jump right in. I like to touch on a few things. Firstly, before we get started, I want to talk about any topics this week that are hot topics. And for me, I'm going to talk about one hot topic that I'm going to touch on for a few moments. So a lot of you that don't know, I do life coaching and I'm a business strategist for women that are transitioning from corporate America to entrepreneurship. And I had a client that she called me in like tears, and she's crying and she's boohooing, and she started her catering business about 6 months ago, and she said she doesn't have a support system. And so I wanted to touch on this because you have a support system. It may not be the support system that you want, but and so you have to get out there and create the support system that you want, just like you have to create the life that you want. So I think we have to stop having expectations of folks. That goes for family members, you know, friends, and folks that we grew up with. And I mean, I just did a quick Instagram post yesterday because for some reason we feel indebted to these folks that we have been knowing all of our lives.
Right. That's true.
You know, and guys, it's okay to meet new people. And, you know, when you're going in another direction in life and you're growing up, you know, and you're glowing up, you know, sometimes it's time to change your circle. And it's clearly okay to change your circle. I mean, I get support sometimes from women that I have known for 6 months. I get more support from them than folks I've known for 6 years.
Right.
So my message out there for today is women, guys, whomever you are, you know, stop having expectations of people and go create the support system that you want to have, because it's out there. And then also I want to ask, you know, folks, no, I keep it real. Are you being supportive?
Wow.
So, you know, sometimes we have all these expectations for folks to be supportive and we're not even offering support. You know what I mean? So you have to go check yourself as well. So I just wanted to put that out there for everyone. Just a little nugget. And so we'll go ahead and get started with this fitness segment. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, girl. How you doing? You looking good? Not fit. Get it.
Yeah, I'm following your lead, Elizabeth, you know. So you're my inspiration.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you.
But I want to touch on Elizabeth's story. She knows I talk about it all the time because, I mean, this is a inspiration to me. Elizabeth was 200 plus pounds.
That's
So.
Thank you for not saying the whole name.
Well, everything's not for everybody, so. Please and thank you. So, Elizabeth, can you put up? So, Elizabeth was 200 plus pounds, guys.
Right.
And so now she's a whopping 100 plus pounds.
Right.
So, with that being said, I want to touch on fitness. I want to touch on motivation and how to stay motivated during your fitness challenge, because it's hard.
Right.
We all sit down sometimes and we look at other people's social medias and we like, how did they do that? You know,
right.
You look at people's situation, even folks that have had plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. And you try to figure out, how can I get my body like that? And so the first thing I want to touch on is try to stay within your own
lane.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
And I don't think everybody's body is not for you.
Right. Be realistic.
Correct. So I think you should try to mostly focus on the healthy part. Because, you know, I know for me, my dad has congested heart failure. My sister has congested heart failure. And mm-hmm. It's not hereditary. It's generic.
Right.
So, folks, you know, it's more important sometimes to stay healthy than looking at a body type.
I'm so happy you said that, because not everybody is going to be a size zero. Right? Not everybody is made that way. And we only frustrate ourselves when we're looking at that size zero and knowing we're supposed to be a size 12. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
So that's what everybody is forgetting nowadays when they're on that social media trolling and looking and scouting and seeing what they want to be like. Instead, I encourage you to look in the mirror and see where you want to evolve. Basically, I heard this from a doctor a long time ago. He said to determine the weight that you want to be or the look that you should be is to just take off all your clothes. Yeah, I said it. Take off all your clothes, stand there naked in front of that mirror, and jump up and down. Then stop. The stuff that's still moving, that's what you want to try to work on. Do you feel me?
Are you guys getting that out there?
I'm telling you, it was real deal. This
I
is
love
real.
It.
We talking for real, right?
We are.
Okay, I wouldn't tell you that in a coaching class, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, that's exactly, and that's what I did. I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm going to say it, Teresa. I was 247 pounds when I weighed myself. So that means I had already lost weight. So I'm sure I was way 250 something. You know what I'm saying? And I've lost over 115 pounds and
wow.
Maintained it for over, well, it's 10 years now.
Woo!
Yay!
Yes!
and I started off that same way. And I could tell you, when my 247 pound butt jumped up and down, it wasn't pretty. But it was real.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That's when it really hit me, like, dang. And it seems like it's so much that you have to do. It's so much that you say, forget it. I'm not going to do it. But then remember, you're looking in that mirror. Look at yourself. Are you worth it? Mm. Because a lot of times we give up because we feel, forget it, man. I ain't worth this. I'm not worthy of all mm-hmm. this hard work. I'm going to go buy me some long, silky hair. I'm going to go buy me some red bottom shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go buy me some good, expensive clothing, and nobody's not going to know I'm a size 24.
Yeah, you're kind of hiding behind things. That's
hiding.
What I say.
Mm-hmm.
You're hiding behind all things. Right. And when you go look in that mirror, though, that reality is still sitting there.
It's there.
And it takes people into depression, actually.
Absolutely.
You know, so I have a few questions that I would like to ask you, Elizabeth, as far as, you know, how would one person get started? Just say, okay, you look in the mirror, you've jumped up and down.
Right.
And you see all the stuff still moving.
Right.
What would you tell someone to get started? Like, some people need motivation.
Absolutely. We all need motivation. We all do, you know, but it's a fine line between discipline and motivation, right? Mm-hmm. So we motivate ourselves. But we don't get up off that couch. I don't care how much motivating you're doing, you got to do some work. So I say the first thing you have to do is just move, baby, move. And when I say move, it could be whatever you like. Walk your dog, dance, jump rope, swim, gardening. Just move. Get off the couch.
Mm. Okay, guys. Yeah, you heard it firsthand from Elizabeth Colon. Get off of the couch. And what about people having friends that, you have your friends that you call them and you ready to go eat that cheeseburger. They game.
But they blowing at your door. They like, boop, boop, come on.
But then if you call them and say, hey, girl, you know, they have a spin class a day over at the Y.
Nah.
Yeah, they're going to find an excuse.
Right.
So what's some of the, you know, help that you can give those folks that really want to exercise? Some folks, they need that buddy.
Mm-hmm. Accountability partner.
Is the word I was looking for. So what would you say to those people that don't have one?
I say go anyway. So let's say you got your friend, they all down to go eat, right? Mm-hmm. But then when it's time to go work out, they're not there like you said. So what I say is, say you want to go to that spin class, go a little early to that spin class. Guess who you're going to find? Other people doing spin, right?
Totally.
You're going to now start surrounding yourself with like-minded people who want to do spin. So when you say, oh, girl, you start going to the class, they start seeing you, I'll see you next week. Yeah, I'll see you next week. Then you are starting to find someone that's going to be looking for you next week. Now, you done told that girl, I'm going to see you next week. She going to save you a bike. Right?
Right.
So now she's holding you accountable. And even when you want to go with your friends to eat, you're going to be like, man, I can't. I told Cindy I'm going to be up in that class, so I have to go. Honor your word. And you'll start finding new people to do things with.
And it's funny you say that, Elizabeth, because that goes back to what I was just saying for my tip of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change your circle.
That's right. Uh-huh.
You have to. So if this circle over here is unhealthy,
right,
they don't like to exercise,
right,
and that's something that you are really pushing yourself to do, then mm-hmm. you're going to have to change mm-hmm. your circle. I mean, it's just that simple.
Birds of a feather flock together.
So, you know, if the entire group is eating unhealthy, then you're prone to eat unhealthy.
Right.
Now, far as eating habits, let's talk about that, because Elizabeth's eating habits, guys, I promise you, they are so on point.
Like, that's
when I tell you she eats literally like clockwork every 3 hours.
I do.
She's eating like clockwork every 3 hours. And so what are some of the things you see that folks, because a lot of people fail when it comes to eating. And I think sometimes I've used to be guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be guilty of going eating, like go the whole day and don't eat.
Oh, don't tell me that. I know though. Don't tell me that. But
and when I would eat dinner, I would eat
on.
I'm going to make up for them 8 hours I haven't eaten a day. I'm going to eat. And your eyes start to get really bigger than your stomach.
Right.
And then you realize now you're stuffed and you feel a hot mess, because that's how you feel.
Right.
And I had to learn the difference between being full and being satisfied.
Speak.
So,
because when we were little, we were taught to eat all your food. You're going to be full. You're going to be like, you're going to fool. I hate to say it, but, you know, they don't. They eat until you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Totally.
Because, you know, when we were little, we didn't have a lot of money. So we wanted to show our love with our food. Our grandmothers and everybody want to show you how much I love you. And you had to show them how much you love them by eating everything they put on your plate. Totally. Even if it wasn't healthy, because they didn't know. Right?
Totally.
So we ate until we were stuffed.
We did. It was terrible.
Roll me over. I'm done. Stuffed.
Yes, we totally did.
But now that we're older, we're more aware. We know we have to eat until we're satisfied. And what that feels like is You know that feeling in your stomach when you done took that bite, and when you put down the fork is a good signal. You don't realize it. My kids even know now. They watch me. I put down the fork because they want to eat my food, by the way. So when I put down my fork, they like, Mama, you done? I guess I am, right? But it is a conscious thing that we don't even realize we do. You know, we eat and we're chewing and talking and we eat and we're chewing and talking. And then when we put down that fork, we usually satisfy.
And don't let the food be good.
Correct.
You really sit and overeat.
Yeah.
So that I do know. Well, can you give the listeners some tips on maybe some things that they can do if they're trying to change their eating habits? I mean, outside of trying to just, some folks like to go cold turkey.
That's too hard.
So what kind of tips, like, would you give the listeners far as them changing their eating habits?
Okay, great. That's a good
question. To get started, how would they get started?
To get started, you know, the number one mistake people do is go cold turkey on everything. And I'm not going to eat any sugars, and I'm not going to eat any carbs, and I'm not going to eat any. Nah, come on now. Let's not do that. Let's get real with this stuff, because this is a change we want to make for the rest of our life. So the first thing I would really encourage people after moving is drink more water. People don't realize, a lot of times you think you are hungry and you really are thirsty.
I never thought about that.
Yes. So when you feel like, oh, I'm hungry, drink a glass of water first and see if you really are.
Because water is filling.
Water,
have
yeah.
Have you ever sat and drank water in a restaurant and then when your food comes, you're like, oh my God.
Right.
I have just sat here and drank all this water and now I'm full.
Right, right, okay. Right. Yes. And the same thing about, you know, I did that to get over soda. You know, the people drinking soda all the time. So, you know, we all know soda bad for us. That's nothing new. But to get rid of that or to break that habit, what I did was I had to drink all my water first when I was at a restaurant, and then I could have my soda. After I drank all my water, I don't want a soda.
Right. Because
I'm full.
You're full. On top of the fact, sodas are not good for you either, right?
Correct. That's right. So you usually start to wean yourself off of that.
Okay. So now, would you recommend that folks, like, because there's so many different eating, dieting.
It's only one real thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because yes. I see so many of them. I just saw one the other day, and my daughter said, oh, Mom, you're late. It was a military diet. I said, well, what the heck is that?
Girl, they got them all going. They got them all going. Military, 30-30, the high it was like, I was at a meeting the other day, and a lady was speaking to someone else, and she was like, oh, my God. And every time I seen this lady, she looked the same. And I probably have a meeting with her like every year or twice a year. And she always saying she's dieting. She's trying this diet. She's trying this diet. She don't talk to me, of course, about that stuff. But she's talking to other people, right? So I'm just listening in, right? So she told her that she's dieting. She's doing this new 30 dirty and she's giving up all sugars. It's so hard. But I have dropped weight today. So what happens when you introduce that food that you completely cut out? You're going to blow back up.
Yeah. That's why I'm crashing. I think I really believe like the crash dieting is it's just not good.
Fad dieting, yeah, it's a fad, just like everything else.
Because then you go back to all the poor eating habits that you initially had in the beginning. So,
right.
All right, guys. So those are your tips for today. Now, so you have to develop some eating habits. Well, firstly, I think what's more importantly is to start to surround yourself with those like-minded folks.
Right.
So get out there, and if you want to go to that spin class, if you want to go, to whatever the classes are, the cardio class at the gym or
Zumba,
whatever
you're doing.
And then you will meet folks. Mm-hmm. So if the friends right now that you have in your circle, they're not interested, then you just go meet some folks that actually like to do what it is that you're trying to do.
Right.
It's really important for you to be successful, even at eating healthy.
Yes.
Now, exercising wise, before you go into the merits piece of this, how much would you say someone should exercise per week?
Well, on average, you should do at least so 3 times a week is what you would really want to do. But okay. If you haven't done anything, start with 2 times a week at least, or take that little 30-minute walk. Start with that. That'd be great. But it really is 60 minutes three times a week is what we're aiming for.
Okay.
But I challenge you to do something today. Today for 30 minutes. Walk your dog, ride your bike, dance, 30 minutes. And then let us know what you do.
And we know who you are. Those I'm going to start next Monday. Because I used to be guilty of that, too.
Yep.
It's Tuesday, and we talking about weight loss. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to start on
Monday.
And guess what, guys? It's like Monday on January 1, you know, like when the gym is real packed or whatever. And then, you know, every Monday, and I would blink, and it would be like April. And I'm still starting on Monday. Or you find an excuse. I don't have time. Now, that's the number one excuse I hear with a lot of women.
Yep.
My hair.
I don't want to mess up my hair.
And I don't have time.
Right.
And I say, if you really want to make it happen, you'll find a way. And if you really don't, you'll find an excuse.
Right.
Okay.
That's very true.
So, guys, if you're interested in, you know, following Elizabeth on her fitness and health journey, she gives a lot of great tips. She also writes articles, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we wrap the show up. You can follow her on Miss Fit One on all of the social media sites. It's MSFITONE. You can go out there and also follow her story. She looks definitely amazing, guys. She does. She looks amazing.
Thank you, guys.
If that's not motivation for you to go from 200 plus pounds, you know, and she's not just 100 and was it 30?
130 pounds.
She's not just 130 pounds, guys. She's built and she's cut. So what that means is anything is possible.
Amen.
If you believe it's possible. So now, talking a little bit, I wanted to start out talking about that fitness piece before I got over here into this marriage world.
Right.
Because they kind of go hand in hand. Now, let me tell
you,
and I'm going to let Lakia help us out shortly. And I just want to give my two cents on why I think it goes hand in hand. Because first of all, you know, how many of us are guilty? Like, I've been married now, 4 years? Next Friday will be 4 years. And I promise you, I gained 20 pounds from the time I got married in 2013 up until probably about 2015. It happened over about 2 year span.
Right.
And now, of course, I've worked to get it off. But my point I'm making is I got comfortable in my marriage.
Speak.
So whatever my husband ate, I ate.
Mm-hmm. We together.
Girl, I don't got a sachet around here anymore. I got my man now, my husband. I'm just going to eat what I feel like. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think we get comfortable. And then there's a flip side where some women are overweight and their husbands are not attractive to them.
Right. So men are very visual. Very visual.
So, look here, we're going to kind of, you know, have you jump in and help us out a little bit with this piece far as just we want to talk a little bit about you. Let's talk more about you, a woman being overweight, and how to, you know, what you think she can do to kind of, you know, get her husband to pay her attention again. Because, you know, I hear a lot of that. Women say that their husbands are not attracted to them.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know what? I'm taking it from Destiny's Child, Kelly's verse. She said, I'll keep it tight.
Right.
I keep my hair fixed, keep rocking the hottest outfit.
Thank you.
The key word you said was comfortable. And I don't know why we kind of get comfortable once we get our man, but that's when we should turn it up. I think there has to be some type of self-love for yourself. Like, look, I want to be so fly. I want to be so, you know, attractive to myself that my husband's looking like, whoa, you know, what you got going on? So I think for the women who feel that they have sort of lost their mojo, like Elizabeth was saying with the fitness tip, and I was taking notes because, you know, I have a two-month-old, so I'm bouncing back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Two-month-old, I can't get comfortable. And I'm bouncing back, especially with that water, that intake. But I think you have to definitely just get to the point where you're like, you know what? I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for us. And start really, you know, following those tips. So, I mean, something as simple as taking a 30-minute walk during lunch, you know, at work. You don't have to sit behind your cubicle. Go out in the parking lot and walk around. Start seeing and visualizing yourself the size that you want, how you want to feel when you put your clothes on. And to be honest with you, most husbands, I mean, I'm not going to say most, you know, I didn't read a survey, but I do know that many husbands want their wives to be a little thick. You know what I mean? They want them to be healthy. They want them to have curves and just be attractive. So envision that and start seeing yourself and start implementing those tips that, you know, Elizabeth just said, and start watching yourself evolve into this woman where, you know, it will even take your marriage to the next level.
Yes, you know,
things that you guys maybe have never done or things that you've never felt may now be ignited because you've taken pride in how you look and how you feel.
Nice. And, you know, I think truthfully, I hope you women out here, you know, women that are on the call are really listening to this because it's really important. I want to touch really on, you know, Lakia saying, keep it right, keep it tight. I thought that was a perfect example. That Destiny's Child example, because don't fall off.
Right. I really live by that. I really do.
You know, I mean, guys, I'm telling you, it's been times where I would be fully dressed, have been dressed all day and had all these 4-inch heels all day. And I know my husband is on his way home. I will sit there, won't wash the makeup off my face. I said, now he has seen me all weekend. You know what I mean? With my hair mess and these sweatpants on.
I said,
he needs to see me cute.
Okay. And just not on Instagram.
Right.
That's that mindset, Teresa.
I don't want him to forget.
No, but I just wanted to say, like, that's the mindset of a wife.
Yep.
See, one of my mottos is all married women aren't wives.
Oh.
And I feel like the terms of being all married women, y'all heard me, all married women aren't wives. But see, Teresa, you've taken on that mindset. I was on Insta stories the other day, and I had been in my, you know, I work from home, so I'm, you know, in my T-shirt all day and, you know, looking rough. And I was like, you know what? You might need to go freshen up. So when that man walks through this door, he can see you looking cute in your loungewear. You know, I ain't, you know, put a little lip gloss on, something, fix your hair. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, I just did.
And I totally agree with that because I would be everybody on this phone probably guilty of what you just said, Lakia. I mean, you're at home because, guys, when I first met my husband, and him and I, we talk about it and we laugh about it a lot. We didn't live together. And when I first met him, every time I went to his house, I had to get my face beat. I had to put on. I could have had on some sweats all day. But no, I'm on my way to his house. I got to look cute every time I walk in the door. And it's really hard to do that when you're married to someone to just wake up every day in spite of this. I woke up like this.
Hashtag.
Yeah. I mean, you literally don't really wake up like that. Because I know it's mornings. I woke up and went and looked in the mirror like, oh, Lord, my husband had to look at that this morning. Heck, I went, I went 4 years and wouldn't even let my husband see me without lashes on.
No, I'm
So, I mean, when you get married, I mean, you know, nothing... To me, at that point, nothing is off the table. You have to get naked. And I don't literally mean, guys, with your birthday suit on. I mean, peeling off those layers.
Right.
And getting naked because you're not going to be able to get up cute every day. So, you know, guys, take that, you know, take heed to what Lakia is saying far as you supposed to turn it up, not turn it down.
Right.
Okay? To keep your husband's attention because I'm just going to go there, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you ain't looking cute, at some point, there's a lot of attractive women out there now, and you know, the eyes do wander.
They're very visual.
So if your husband has to look at you looking a mess every single day, and he's out, you know, and he's outside.
Right.
I mean, whether he's going to work, walking the dog, going to the gym, there are attractive women out there, ladies. So just be mindful of that when, and not saying that you have to do it
the most
to go over the top but you know, every now and again, put some lipstick or something on, you know. Put
I'm the queen of lip gloss, I
put on lipstick. I go take a shower and put on lipstick, and my husband, where you going? I'm like, to bed.
Where you going?
I'm going to bed. So guys, you know, I think that's really important, and that's why I wanted to kind of intertwine this fitness and marriage segment. And also, I wanted to talk about a few other things since we have this wife coach on the line.
Yes.
I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity. I know we've done some marketing of the show, so I don't know if you guys had an opportunity yet to go and check out Lakia's page on social media. But she says, just because you are married does not mean you are a dynamic wife. Look, kid, can you kind of like give us some insight on that? And I'm going to get my pen and paper
out. You saw me. I'm writing.
Of course. You know what? I stand on that. You know, it's the proverb that all married women aren't wives. And I just celebrated 8 years on the 10th, which was, you know, a couple days ago, right?
Right.
So, in 8 years, I've realized the difference. You know, I'm starting to see that. Some women, you know, just get married just to have the title or get married by default, you know, but then others, they understand that, you know, this is my assignment. I have power. You know, when I look at a wife, she's a powerful woman.
Yes.
She's a woman that can influence her husband, you know, not change him. She can influence change.
Right.
She's a woman that is a helpmate. She's an excellent wife. The Bible tells us that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. So she's literally, if she understands the value that she brings to the marriage, I think it's important for a woman to realize, like you're the good thing. Like, let's define what that good thing is, because you are the good thing. You're the one who, even though it's a lot of pressure, it may seem like, but you're the one who helps your relationship to grow. You're the one who brings the best out of him. Things that, I think we sometimes want our man to do. For us, even though they do, iron sharpens iron, but that's what we were called to do. So as a wife, I just think it's important to know that you have power. And a married woman is, I don't like to call her powerless. I just like to say she hasn't tapped into her fullest potential.
And, you know, I mean, women, take heed to that because you are exactly right. I have to totally agree with you on that. A lot of us don't know that we have that power, though. They
right.
don't know how what your influence level is over your husband.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us don't know that.
Right.
You have to, I think, for me, I think you have, what I believe is you have to know when and what time, I guess, it you know, to have
exactly.
that power.
Right.
Because it's not in all areas. You know what I mean? I think every marriage has where... You know, there are times where, you know, you make your husband feel like he made the decision when really ultimately you made
did.
It.
Yeah.
right.
Because he has to keep his role as a king.
Right.
So
they
need their ego stroked.
Well, I like to see it as they are the head and we are the neck.
Okay.
Right? So they're the head, we're the neck. We kind of turn them the way we want them to go.
Say that.
And then they decide that they've made this decision. You know, you want to go out on date night,
and
you got two options.
Yeah.
Right? And then they pick one.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what they pick because you are happy with either one of them. So you are the neck and they are the head. They're the ones that's going to make the final decision, but you've already turned it that way for them.
I totally agree.
Absolutely.
And you know, and that is a great way to look at it, because I know some folks, and I have tons of email questions. I was just looking at some of them. Of course, we are not going to be able, unfortunately, to answer all of them. And so we will have the fitness and marriage segment again, so we can try to answer them on the next show. But there are a lot of women right now that, and these are folks, and LaKia, you can help me out with this, that have been married for 1 year or 25 years, right?
Right.
Yes.
What do you think are some of the key ingredients, okay, walking into a marriage, okay, at 1 year or 2 years? And the reason why I'm asking is because when you know, I was told if you make that 5 year mark, you get through for the first 5 years, you kind of good.
It's changing probably, every year, though. It's changing.
I know, right?
It's if you make it to a year.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's funny you say that, because people were like, my husband and I decided to, you know, renew our vows next year for our 5 year. And folks are like, you don't renew your vows at 5 years. I'm like, look, honey, at this day and age, you can renew your vows every year.
Every year. Yeah.
Because every year counts.
Every year counts.
But what would be some advice you would give a newlywed, I'm talking about a new wife that has never been married. We talking about someone who's never even been married at all. And she walks in the door with, and I'm talking about folks that particularly that's been single most of their adult lives. And they go get married later in life. Okay. Because to me, there's a difference in you getting married at 20-something for the first time and you getting married at 40-something for the first time.
Right.
Exactly. I think, honestly, regardless of the age, jumping into marriage unprepared is like jumping into a pool and not knowing how to swim.
What?
So preparation is key. We prepare. Come on, Teresa, now. You tell me, did I hear this correctly? You help women to go from their corporate positions to entrepreneurship. We prepare for every transition in life. We go to school. We get degrees. But when it comes to relationships, when it comes to marriage, we just expect that stuff to happen. We just expect it. Oh, you know, I'm in love. I'm like, girl, love ain't going to pay the bills. Right. I mean, you know, come on now. Right. So for you, I think it's important that you stay prepared. How do you get prepared? You get around successfully healthy marriages. Now, that doesn't mean they're perfect. The name of my book is, you know, Picture Perfect, but it's he's not perfect, I'm not perfect, but together we're picture perfect. So you got to get around people who exemplify what marriage is. You know, how do you guys communicate? How do you guys argue? How do you guys, you know, handle finances? How do you handle your sex life? Things like that people can really show you how to do those things. Start reading books about marriage. And one thing, one of my good friends always says, you don't believe or take 100% of somebody's advice. You take the parts that pretty much work for you.
Wow.
And so you start reading different books. You start getting educated because I'm telling you, you got to do your homework. Being a wife is an assignment. You have to do your homework. So if a wife is getting married or interested in you know, joining her life with somebody else, she has to be educated on what it takes to be in that role, to be in that position. Because you're not sitting up, you know, we talk about kings and queens. You're not sitting up on the throne just directing.
Right.
Nah, boo. You got to get down in the trenches with him. You got to understand what it takes to be his helpmate, to really help him, you know, make wise decisions, to pray over him, to really pray. I mean, that's one thing I had to learn with my husband. I married a man who wouldn't be considered, quote unquote, the, you know, I guess the church figure of a man or the ideal man. I married a street guy, you know, and to see him evolve, you know, me being able to pray, me being able to be an example of, you know, going to run every day, starting to work out. This man, if you go back and look on my IG page, I just posted this on Tuesday, you can see the size he was when we got married. And then you see the size he is today. You see his mindset. He just opened up another business. All of these things, and I'm taking all credit, but God has truly placed an anointing on us that gives us that power of influence. He wants to be better. He wants to, you know, see how he can continue to grow. But that's what we have to understand. And if we understand that, our marriages will be pretty much everything. To me, that's my version of happily ever after. It doesn't look like the books. It doesn't look like the movies. It's something that we're creating on a daily basis.
Now, Lakia, you touched on something. I definitely want to touch on this. How do you know, and ladies, just a recap too. I mean, basically, it doesn't matter if you're going into marriage for the first time, the second, third time, doesn't matter your age. When you get married, you have to have, you know, you have to go in with a plan. You have to, you know, you have to do, that's why a lot of folks, marriages fail because people do get married for the wrong reasons. They go in the door with the assumption and expectations of marriage from other people's marriages.
Right.
Don't ever base your marriage off someone else's marriage.
Right.
But we do
Hello.
It.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, Lakia. Take the advice that maybe apply to you, but it's not everybody's advice because guess what? The shoe doesn't, one size doesn't fit all. So what may work for Elizabeth's marriage, it may not work for mine.
Right.
Exactly.
You touched on the praying and it's really important to me that marriages survive and I'm gonna go there, you know, this is only Teresa's opinion, if the creator is not in the foundation of that marriage, it stunts the growth. But look here, how do you get, if just say, you know, sometimes and this is not in every case, but the woman and she's trying to get her husband to go to church and she's trying to get them to have a spiritual based marriage, like, and she's the one that goes to church every Sunday and she's all caught up in the church and
speak
and he doesn't, it's just not, he just doesn't go to church. I mean, what advice would you give to that wife that's really trying to change her marriage to have it more spiritually based?
And it's so funny that you're asking this, because I was that wife. I married a man, first of all, knowing that he didn't go to church every Sunday. Okay, I married this man, but I went to church every Sunday, right? So I would, nag, like get mad in the mornings when I'm getting dressed and getting, our oldest daughter dressed, and we're going to church, and then I come back home. He's like, "How was church?" Asking. I'm like, "Well, if you were there, you would know. And the pastor was talking to you," and all this stuff, me going off. But then I started my pastor. Would actually preach a word that it hit home in my heart that helped me as a wife to grow. I started stop expecting him to go to church and started being the church. And so for me, it was walking in the example of a Christ-like wife, to being this Christian that I claim I was. I started being her, which attracted him. Like, well, what's going on over there at Newburgh? What's going on that you are being taught these things, or you're starting to not nag me as much, or you're being this loving wife. And he started to be more, he was more concerned or more interested in what was going on in the church. So I married a man who didn't grow up in the church, but he prayed. I see him praying. I see him seeking the Holy Ghost for wisdom. And so these things came from, again, me being an example of how you do it. And so I would tell that wife to be the example. Your actions are going to speak louder than your word. You can tell him to come to church every day, all day, but if he doesn't go, then what?
Right.
Stay on your knees. Stay praying to God and, asking you to be the word that will penetrate his heart and somehow desire, that desire for him to be in church will come. So you definitely have to be the example.
I have to agree with you on that, because it's a lot of times we're going to make them. You know what I mean? You're going to make them go to church. And we all know most men, you're not going to make most of them do anything. You're going to get the opposite of what it is of the action you're trying to get.
Hello.
And, because I was told, well, Teresa, you just keep getting up every Sunday and you keep getting up every Sunday going to church. And he's going to eventually get up and go to church. And it's almost like you lead, and but sometimes you have to lead with your mouth closed.
And that's hard for us as women.
I'm passing the collection plate on that one.
I mean, women, we have to sometimes lead with our mouths closed. And we are prone to, you don't hear what I'm saying, because a lot of times we want a quick reaction. So if I ask you to do something, if I'm looking for you to do something, if I'm complaining that you're not doing something, I need a quick reaction. And if it's not a quick reaction, then that means you're not listening. I'm reading a book right now, and it's The Power of a Praying Wife. And this book has taught me so much. I mean, every time, it's so funny now, because my husband, he get mad about something, I'm like, oh Lord, where my book at? I gotta go get my book. And then it has a chapter for him. Oh, honey, that book is saving lives over in the Murphy household. But it has a chapter for everything. His attitude, his purpose, his responsibility, his work, his work time. I mean, if you name it, it has it really has a chapter that kind of caters to every aspect of your husband. And you read and you like, wow. But the thing about change is you have to change too.
Right.
You can't expect change, and you're not going to be a part of the change. And women, y'all know we're guilty, so I'm really about to step on some toes now. Because have you noticed a lot of times women will say, I need him to do this, this, this. He don't do A, B, C, and we complain a lot. But then we forget to check ourselves.
Right.
And most men are not communicators by nature. They're just not. I mean, if you find one that is, hey, kudos to you. we're the vocal ones.
All right.
But a lot of times, men are not communicators by nature. And so because they're not communicators, sometimes we're over communicators.
Right.
And I'm touching on this because there has been incidents where, you know, I thought I was doing everything flawlessly, you know, almost to perfection. Because, you know, hey, I have a problem with my husband. I just let him know, look, babe, I don't like the way you did. Babe, I didn't appreciate, you know. And then it's like I'm trying to find a way to deliver stuff. And
right.
But he'll hold his.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he does tell me, I'm like, oh, I didn't think I had a problem with that. Yeah, you did. That's the thing. You didn't think you had a problem with anything. So the reason why I am touching on this, Lakia, because, I mean, what are some ways that you can get your man to communicate? Because let's be honest.
Well, can I say one quick thing?
Yeah, please.
Just real quickly. I hear you guys are really giving some information out there for the married women because, you know, it's tough. That's the hardest job I've ever done. But when you said to lead by example, I hear that a lot when we're talking about weight loss. Right? We say, oh, her husband getting fat. Our husband, he getting so big. Well, what you cooking for him? Oh, he had fried chicken. And we had a good meal. Well, I thought you were saying how big he getting. This is how we can lead with our mouth closed. We can
fix
a nice, simple, healthy meal that he will eat and put it down in front of him. And stop complaining about him being so. Just say, let's go for a walk today. You do it together, or you go for your walk. And I'm not lying. My husband is not Mr. Fit One, right?
Mm-hmm.
My husband has been an athlete, and he don't want to do it. He ain't doing it. But one day I went, and I said, baby, you want to come and walk with me with the dog? Nope. I said, okay. I went and walked with my dog. I came back a little too happy. I was happy and laughing and saying bye to the neighbors. He's like, who you talking to? I said, oh, everybody out walking their dog. He said, oh, okay, looking around. The next day I was going to walk the dogs. Guess what? I'm going to come with you.
I bet you he was coming with you.
He sure did. Because I didn't fuss about it.
That.
I didn't complain about it. I was just like, okay,
then. Yes.
So you are so right.
Yeah, you have to lead by example.
Yeah.
And ladies,
that's the wife.
Yeah, we want to keep complaining, but we're not doing our part either, because while you're sitting on the couch complaining,
right?
You know, find out what it is that he needs.
Amen.
And I mean, men, I know you guys are going to love me for this today, so we're not having a woman man bash moment. We're having a truth moment.
Right.
You know, sometimes we have to find out what it is that he needs. What I want to do is try to answer some of these questions, Lakia and Elizabeth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll try to answer. It depends on. Let's see. I'll just skip over a few and see what we have. Because women sent out an email actually. You know, for women to send in their questions, and honey, they overflowed.
I bet this is a topic that's like hot on everybody. We just had this conversation last night.
Okay. So. Then we have, okay, so she's out of Mississippi. I don't want to say anyone's name because I don't know if somebody in Mississippi might know who I'm talking about.
I know her.
No. So we'll just say she's out of Mississippi.
Okay. All right. What was Mississippi talking about?
Okay. Mississippi said, I recently went through infidelity in my marriage. This is the first time I've ever had to deal with infidelity with my husband. We have now been married 6 years. How do you know whether you should leave or stay? How do you rebuild trust after it has been broken? Whew.
Oh,
well, Miss Mississippi, you gave us a run for our money.
Okay. And that, you know what? Infidelity will never be an easy topic.
Right.
But one thing I always, you know, everybody's situation is different. And infidelity, to me, depending on who you are, but infidelity should not be the end all. It shouldn't. In my opinion, it should not be. Because there's so many other things. I know when we were dating, you know, our boyfriends would cheat on us and we would still be with them.
Yes.
But when we get married, if it happens, there's, you know, we're falling in the towel. So
that's funny.
I think she has to, after 6 years, that's a, you know, still fairly new marriage, you know. And
right.
So I feel that if you're willing, this is where it all comes in. If you're willing to put in the work to rebuild the trust, meaning whoever, you know, I don't know if she was, you know, the one who actually
creep.
Cause the infraction of the marriage or the husband, right. So I don't know who creeped off, which one. But if you're really, you know, sorry for what you did, or you're really, you know, remorseful for what you did, then your actions are going to show. And that trust is going to take time. That's why I'm like, it's not worth it. Because once you break the trust, you got to go through this whole process of rebuilding the trust. But if you're willing to put in that work, if your marriage is worth saving, if you guys have so much invested as far as time, love, commitment, you know, covenant. Remember, you said for better or worse. Maybe this will be your worst. Prayerfully, you know, this might be the worst. So how are you going to work through it? You know, you can't just say, you know, everything that's good, I'm going to, you know, fight for my marriage. But then when something happens, it's like, no, that's all right. You know, I'm going to throw the towel.
Right.
So I feel that trust is going to take some time. And you can never tell somebody to leave their husband mm-hmm. or leave their wife. But to, you know, look at the situation as it is. Do you want to stay? You know, and I understand you're hurt, but now you got to put things in place, okay? You may need to go to counseling now. You guys may need to go do that to start rebuilding the trust. You guys may have to have each other's codes to your phone. I mean, getting to that point to where you are rebuilding the trust. There's no secrets anymore. There's nothing to hide. So when you get, like you said, Teresa, getting naked, really getting naked and being transparent, like I have nothing to hide, and y'all can start building off of that, it's worth saving. I definitely think it's worth saving.
Right. And I agree 100%. And I'm just going to put a little health fitness little thing on that because that's what I do. In a marriage, when infidelity happens, a lot of times we feel insecure and start doubting ourselves. Mm-hmm. Am I pretty enough? Mm-hmm. Am I thin mm-hmm. enough? Mm-hmm. Am I whatever enough? Mm-hmm. And then just take this time to really focus on yourself. Like you say, get naked. You know, maybe you should start doing a little yoga or meditate
yes.
or really try to be mm-hmm. the best mm-hmm. person that you can be. Because a lot of times
yes.
we throw it all off on him. But what you doing, boo? Right?
Exactly.
So when you get yourself right and feeling good about yourself, we can be better for our mate. So when that happens, mm-hmm. if you guys really can turn into each other and say, what can I do for you, baby? What can I do for you? And then really look at yourself and try to do things. Even because, you know, if your man really love you, he ain't going to say, I need you to lose 5 pounds. He ain't going to say that, right? You know. But you know yourself, what you started off with and what you are now. And then you might feel better in yourself. Because a lot of times, I know when I was a big girl, I didn't want to do a lot of things that my husband wanted to do because I felt I didn't look good.
Right.
So then I done sent him out to the wolves.
Yeah.
Because I ain't want to go because I don't feel good. But somebody else in the club was looking good and they didn't have no problems going.
Exactly.
They don't.
So when you start feeling better about yourself, you'll start doing more things, the beach, the whatever it is that you guys can go as a couple.
That's true.
And try to nurture, and you have to nurture marriage.
Absolutely.
Mean, point blank, period. It has to be nurtured
all the time.
You know, it's a full time job with no days off.
Right.
You don't get no sick leave, Hello. No paid vacation. I mean, you are working 365 days per year,
24/7.
You are, and I want to touch on something, Lakia, is when you said no one can tell you to leave your spouse.
Right.
We have to emphasize that because ladies, gentlemen, I'm more focused on the ladies with this one. You just can't allow bitter Betty and
mm-hmm.
single Susie. I mean, seriously now, to tell you what they wouldn't put up with
right.
and what they wouldn't do and what they wouldn't allow him to do.
Right.
And they would move their things out. It's easier said than done when you're not in a situation, because I can say you never know what you would do in a situation until you actually get in a situation.
Exactly. Right. You're in it.
Right.
Exactly.
So never let anyone tell you to leave your spouse. It's great if you have that, you know, that listening ear of a friend that calls and that you can call, because, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes we all need to vent.
Right.
But you have to be the decision maker whether you stay or go in your marriage. That's not for anyone else to make. That decision, it has to be you.
Right.
So Mississippi, I hope we answer somewhat of your question. You know, you guys can rebuild trust. I mean, it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know,
so can I add one thing?
You sure can.
Okay, I just want to say, you know, if she decides to stay, then stick with that decision and work through it. And right. and it's best to not involve a lot of people into your business of what's going on. You know, it has to be somebody that's trusted that you can, you know, share this information with that can help coach you to, you know, getting back to a better place. But if you decide to stay, then that's your decision and be okay with it. Don't worry about what, like you said, you know, Negative Nancy and all those other people, they have some input
right.
because they, who knows what they're going through behind closed doors. But just make sure you stick with that decision and be okay with it.
Yeah, and sometimes, let's just be real. Miserable folks love miserable folks.
Misery love company. Yeah, absolutely.
So you make the decision what you want to do for your marriage. That's not for anyone else to make.
Yeah.
I think in a marriage, everybody has a breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody has that non-negotiable situation.
Right.
That,
exactly.
You know, that might take them there where they want to end their marriage, but only you and your spouse can decide what that is. That's not for anyone else. And yes, people do get past infidelity. You know, it's funny to me, ladies, and you guys can chime in, I mean, at any time, but it's funny to me how we pick and choose what is bad in a marriage.
Right?
You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about how bad infidelity is in the marriage. And hey, I'm not condoning it, just a FYI. But we
exactly.
don't talk about a lot of the other things in a marriage that aren't healthy, right?
Right.
So, you know, if I don't think, it's almost like telling a lie and telling a white lie. They're all lies.
Right, 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 right.
So, right.
I agree so much. So, you know, of course, I'm fitness, I'm health, I'm looking at that. You know what else is bad in your marriage? Is when your husband have high blood pressure. You still giving him all the food that you know is going to kill him. That's bad mm-hmm. in your marriage. You know,
hey,
it's up to the woman. If you look at it, though, look at the wives in the family. The woman in the family, then look at her husband and look at her kids. Mm. If she is overweight, 9 times out of 10, they all are overweight.
I agree.
If the woman is fit and in good health and healthy, mm-hmm. look at all of them. They all, her kids are usually fit. Everybody's fit, mm-hmm. you know, and because she's controlling the whole household through that kitchen.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of
very
things
true.
We do that's bad for our marriage that we don't want to talk about.
We kind of want to overlook
that. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
I just had to say that. I just had to get that off my chest.
We appreciate it. So, Mrs. Mississippi, we hope that helped. We're going to go ahead to another question. We have Mrs. Richmond, Virginia. And again, of course, I'm not going to say the name. I recently have been communicating with my ex-boyfriend. I've been married now for 2 years. I've been recently communicating with my ex-boyfriend. And he is now asking me to meet him for dinner, for drinks, and to hang out. I have met him one time to hang out with him and have drinks. And we did cross the line far as kissing. Do you think I should tell my husband?
Ooh,
Mrs. Richmond, Virginia.
Ooh,
we're not judging. Ooh, it's a non-judge show, Mrs.
No, because it's real.
It is.
It's
it
real.
Is.
It happens to
I'm
all
like,
of us.
Come on now.
Yeah, it happens
come
to all
on.
Of us.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, wife coach. Go ahead, wife coach.
We're gonna let you have this one, Lakia.
Yeah, I know y'all are.
Pass well, that buck to Lakia.
Absolutely. Well, this is the thing. I feel like you've crossed the line. Clearly, you reaching out to the show. You know that you've
right.
crossed the line. And that thing, you need to make a decision on where you're going from here. Honestly, you need to stop first communicating with this ex-boyfriend. Because the key word is ex. You didn't marry him. You married somebody else. So
mm-hmm.
let's go ahead and end that communication, whatever it was that wasn't rekindled or didn't happen. It didn't happen because clearly you moved on.
Right.
So should you tell your husband? There shouldn't be any secret in your marriage, okay?
Oh, Lord,
my thing okay. with social media today, with anything, he can find out. And I would rather him hear it from you. And my thing is, you're telling your husband so that you can make things right. You're telling your husband because you made a mistake. You're telling your husband because, you know, you realize that this is not going to benefit y'all in any way. If your husband was doing this on the side, you know, think about how you would feel. Think about, would you want him to tell you, or would you want to find out? So right. I feel like she needs to first go ahead and cut ties with old boy, mm-hmm. with her ex. And then, honestly, once she cut ties, go to her husband in truthfulness and, you know, asking for forgiveness, forgiving herself for making that decision, but asking for forgiveness and allowing that to strengthen the foundation of their relationship, allowing that to help them to move forward, because that's ultimately what you have to do. If you continue to see him, it's going to get worse. Lines are going to continue to be crossed. And then it's just like, well, what are you married for? Did you mean to marry the ex, or did you mean to marry the new one? I mean, I'm just... Yeah. So that's what I think she has to do. She has to stay open. And as hard as it may be, I think you need to be honest with your husband and let him know that that was a mistake you made and that you're not going to make that mistake again.
I love it. I love it. Okay. I got to tell you the truth. Like, I am newly married. I think we just celebrated our 2 years. And
nice.
We've been together 5 years, but only married 2 years. And boy, it's a big difference between wife and girlfriend and fiance. You yes. know, it's a big difference. But I had the exact same thing happened. My ex reached out. Let's go. I'm in town. Let's go for drinks. Uh-huh. I was like, sure. Let me see what my husband is available. And then. Since, you know, he changed his mind on that. He changed his mind.
I'm sure he see. That's what I'm talking about, Elizabeth.
Because I was like, ooh, it's going to be nice to see you. Yay. Okay, what time? Let me see if my husband is available. He decided he didn't want to do that then.
I'm sure he didn't. Because his intentions aren't good. If his intentions
his
weren't good.
His intentions were not good. Because if his intentions were good, he would be like, oh, okay, cool. But he definitely said
exactly.
no.
Now, I'm laughing because I think that's hilarious, because I feel like
yes,
it is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
I think that, you know, men nowadays, women too, let's not just point the finger at men. It's men and women.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody's yeah. guilty at this point. But they only go how far you allow them to go.
Right.
Okay.
Say that again. Yeah.
So, and Mrs. Richmond, Virginia, we hope that this helps you. So we just don't get sidetracked. Lakia, basically, you said she should be open and honest with her husband about.
Absolutely.
Okay, so she should be open and honest about the kiss as well. And
I mean, because why not? I mean, my thing is, if you made a mistake and you the invitation was presented, and as hard as it may be, see, that's grown woman-ish right there. That's grown woman.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
You're willing to lay in the bed and do all those things or whatever, even if it ain't go that far. If you're willing to do those things, then you should be able to do it in front of your husband. Or you should be able to, you know, be honest and say, this is what happened. In my opinion, you need to tell him, but it needs to be from a place where I'm not making that mistake anymore. I made a mistake. I don't like it. I was being, you know, untruthful. I wasn't being, you know, making the best decisions. And so right now I'm coming to you as your wife, letting you know I apologize. You know, even though I hurt you and you didn't even know I hurt you. You know what I mean? Because he's trusting you. He's trusting this woman. So I honestly, that's what I would do if I was in that situation.
And fried chicken may be necessary.
Oh, God.
But I'm not going to put myself. Look, but I ain't going to put my, I'm going to do my best not to put myself in that situation so I don't have to fall.
Amen, amen.
Fried chicken
may be necessary that
okay,
night.
So, Mrs. Richmond, Virginia, we hope that helps you out. I totally agree with Lakia. You shouldn't have secrets in your marriage.
Right.
Because to me, secrets cause problems, and they can actually come out later. It may be a secret today.
What done in the dark comes to light, for sure.
Yeah, but it definitely may not be a secret next week. So you need to go and just be honest and open now. And we hope everything works out for you. Because, guys, I mean, men are not as accepting as their women crossing the lines as women are. It's kind of like we are a little more accepting. Would
right,
you guys
right,
agree with
right.
that?
Yeah.
With our men crossing the line, our husbands crossing the line, than the husbands are with their wives. So, Mrs. Richmond, Virginia, we hope that work out for you. We're going to try to answer one more question. And, guys, it's like 400-something.
Wow.
But we will do fitness and marriage actually again next week, guys. So for those that didn't have their questions answered, you definitely can. We'll try to get those answered next week on our show. We'll answer this question. Should you have the past? This is Mrs. Where's she from? This is Mrs. Atlanta, Georgia. Roswell, Georgia.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Georgia. Should you and your husband have each other's passwords to your computers and your cell phones your voicemails?
Oh, man.
Okay.
I want to know this, too. I'm glad she wrote in. I'm not going to say that was me.
You know what?
She asked what I really wanted to know.
That's a good question, but every marriage is different. I feel, honestly, in my particular marriage, I don't have to have my husband's passwords because there's a level of trust there that I have with him.
Right.
And then sometimes when you go looking for stuff, you try to piece together. You know, we're investigators. You start piecing together, okay, wait a minute, I done heard this voice, I done saw this text message, and you trying to create something that doesn't even exist. But so for me, I don't have to have it. However, your husband, y'all should be open to discussion, when it comes to that. If you feel that will make you feel more comfortable, I do know some of the passwords, and that's because he's giving them to me, because that lets me know he has nothing to hide. That's the same for me. If he wants to call right now, here you go. If you want to call somebody from my phone, here you go. You want I feel comfortable with your trust level. So for me, I don't have to have it, but if I wanted it, my husband would have no problem giving it to me.
Well, I'm going to chime in and put in my 2 cents.
Go, Teresa, go.
I have my husband's passwords to his cell phone. He doesn't have mine, and not because I don't give it to him. He just doesn't have it, I guess, because he never really asked for it.
Right.
It's been moments where I might have needed his phone for something, or he needed me to do something, and I'll say, what's the password? Now, let me put my other 2 cents in.
You got 4 cents?
I really do. I really do. Now I may look at my husband side-eyed now if I say, hey, if I pick your phone, I'm like, hey, what's your passcode? I'm trying to do blah, blah. And he just won't give it to me.
Yeah.
Now, because I'm kind of like, why would I not be able to have your passcode? My husband can pick my phone at any given time. If he needs to use it, if he needs to go scroll on the email, right. He needs to go on the web. We don't normally do it because we have our own phones.
Right.
But I'm just, it's the same thing with our computers. My husband don't even use a computer anyways, but when he does use a computer, I mean, he goes on a computer, he has the password to get into my computer, he has the passcode to get into my iPad. So, and I used to be a nosy wife.
Used to be.
Well, yeah, I did. I'm not nosy anymore. I think you create, I think your husband has to somewhat help create that comfort level.
Right.
Now, that's my personal
opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that's just how I look at it. Because I was a nosy wife, and if my husband was here, he probably would say, I'm still nosy. but trust plays a huge factor in a marriage.
Yep.
Yes.
So, Mrs. Roswell, that's kind of a case by case situation, I would say, ladies. You agree?
I agree. Yeah. I'm with
them. I agree.
I don't ask for anything. Here's my thing. I think she said it right on. That's why she's the wife coach, because if you're looking for it, you'll find it. You will find something. We will piece it together. I'm like, one time I had my husband's phone, and we don't have to worry about, use my phone, whatever. It's not a big deal. But I was scrolling, and why he gonna send a little kissy face? But I was so pissed off. Why you sent a kissy face to that lady? What is going on? And it was one of his clients. First of all, he didn't even know it was a kissy face. He was like, well, what is it?
Right.
I was like, is it? Oh, my God. So I was so pissed off and so upset about it. And he didn't even understand the emoji he was sending. I was like, stop sending emojis if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
But like you said, just because I saw that, I'd have lost my mind. Now, any other time, I wouldn't have thought anything about it. And we do. We use each other's phone. Is what's the password? Is this? Whatever. It's not a big deal. I have nothing to hide.
Well, because I can tell you this. You go through anybody's phone.
Yeah.
That's even yours. I can tell you right now, and it's nothing that's line crossing. My husband may look at some of my text messages with my girlfriends and might have a problem with
why you said that?
Right. Right.
So
true.
Just be careful if you do need his password or he needs yours, just be careful to me just randomly wanting to go through and look, and because you're going to find something. I'm speaking from experience, ladies. You know, I'm just, and I'm serious, you're going to find something you don't like. I don't care if he said something to somebody like me. I'm big with exclamation marks. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why she put an exclamation mark behind it? You know.
So why is it all in caps?
We reading it all wrong.
Hold up. Wait a minute. What's she trying? You know, I was on, my husband's not on social media. And so, but of course, his family and friends are on there. So my husband doesn't do social media at all. And so anyway, I'm on a page of his, a family member. And the young lady says to him, you know, tell him she said hi. You know, my husband's name is Ty. Tell Ty I said hi. And she put LOL. And I'm like, well, what's so funny?
Why she got to laugh about it? Why she laughing? Y'all got an inside joke that I don't know? What does hi mean to you? God. You see, we go crazy with
that
stuff.
That is hilarious, y'all.
And when I tell you, my husband looked at me as if I could, he said, guys, I rushed home from the office because I'm like, oh no, he's going to tell me. Mind you guys, he don't even know what's going on because he's not even on social media, okay? His cousin posted a picture of him and my husband. And so this is somebody from, you know, wherever, knew them or whatever. He don't even know what's going on. So I get home and I'm like, he's asleep. Bang. Who is this girl talking about? He's looking at me like, are you serious right now? Yes.
turn on the light, because I want to see your face. I want to see your face. Yes.
So I'm being open. I went on there and said, he said hi.
LOL.
LOL. Petty, just petty. And she came back and said, well, thank you, author Teresa Murphy or whatever. That's my name on Facebook. I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So mm-hmm. My husband's like, you sitting there letting something make you upset that don't even have nothing to do with me or you.
Right.
You know, and I had to think about it. I was like, yeah, that was a little over the top.
Right.
But the thing is, when I sat back and I looked at the situation, I'm like, Teresa, you didn't even have to feed into that.
Correct.
You know what I mean? But I'm just giving an example how. And mind you guys, I didn't go look for that. It kind of was just like, we're friends. The person
Correct.
So I'm using that for an example for when you go through.
Imagine if you were looking.
A phone.
Yeah.
And you're looking. Mm-hmm. You're going to see something you don't like. Yes. And then you got to address it. Okay.
Exactly.
And then, you know, men, this is no bash, but I have to say it. You know, they're not the easiest ones to be like, hey, I did it.
Oh, no.
Hey, yeah, what you saw was right.
Right. We have to come with receipts, and we need more receipts. Boy, we like, wait a minute.
If you didn't see it, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me. And if you did see it, it still wasn't me.
Somebody took a picture. Somebody could have took a picture, and it still wasn't me. I'm like, babe, I know that was you. You could have, it could be the tag number of the car. That wasn't my car.
That wasn't me. Yeah.
So men they're quite hilarious, and so are we. I think what makes, before we wrap up, I just want to say, I think what makes really strong marriages on a day-to-day basis really is communication.
Oh yeah.
And definitely honesty. And guys, you got to keep dating your spouse.
Oh yeah,
you have to keep dating your spouse.
We have a date night every week.
It's mandatory.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some folks, they get married, and my husband and I, we like to do a lot of couple stuff. We do. We like to hang out with other couples and do fun stuff, you know. And I have friends that are married, and it's like everything's separate. She does separate stuff with her friends. He does separate stuff with his friends.
Mm-mm. How could that be?
I don't know. I just couldn't, you know, me personally. And again, no judge zone.
Right, right.
My husband and I, we when something's playing, he know it's playing for me and him.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. Right. We're not glued at the hip or anything. So he does have his time. He does. Let's get that part straight.
Hey, Ty. Look, he in the studio right now. Nah, I'm just kidding.
That's important, too. Yes.
I give him his me time because I need mine. But, you know, my husband is an over-the-road driver, truck driver. So he's gone a lot during the week.
Right.
Sometimes he's home every day. Sometimes he's gone 4 or 5 days. But the moral, what I'm saying is that you have to make time for one another. You know, it's really important. You do. You have to date each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And guys, when I first got married, I think my husband thought that was his like Okay. All that stuff we had to do. All them expensive restaurants. I'm so damn tired. Thank you, Jesus. I done got my wife now. Where's the remote? And I'm, you know, and I'm excited on the weekend. Like, all right, babe, what are we doing this weekend?
Yes.
He's looking at me like, what?
Right.
Well, I didn't know he was going to do anything. You know, what do you mean? So I immediately got him out of that zone.
Right.
So now it's, he knows what we're doing this weekend.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, it's not every weekend, but most weekends we try to spend some time with each other. Because just think, you have an everyday life. He has an everyday life.
Right.
A lot of times if you guys don't work collaboratively together, you spend time away from each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's important to have quality time. And you know what's a really big pet peeve of mine?
What's that?
We're not going on a date where the TV is for you to watch the game and the restaurant.
Girl, speak. Why you keep looking over my head?
That is funny.
No, if we're going on a date at a restaurant, guys, I purposely will try to find somewhere in that restaurant to sit if it does have TVs where he can't see it.
Right.
Because that's not date night to me.
Right. I'm so serious about my date night. I'm flying out on Saturday instead of Friday because we have date night. We're going to the play. And my husband was like, of course, he don't want to go. So he like, nah, you can go ahead and fly out on Friday. You know, we don't have to go to that play. And then, you know, come back on Monday. It's good. It's cool. We'll just have date night, you know, some other night.
Right.
No, I'm going to fly out on Saturday. And we're going to go to our date night on Friday.
That's how that's going to work. We're
going to make it happen.
We're going to make it happen. That's why they got planes that leave at all kind of different times.
You better preach.
And that's exactly why I do it. So it's like, no, date night is important because, you, like Teresa said, they work all. My husband works all the time. And I love it. I love that he's a great provider for us. He's an amazing father, amazing husband. But he is worker bee, work all the time. So if I don't set time aside and get to see why I fell in love with this man again, because during the day, all I see is grumpiness, meanness. I'll go, hurry, we go. I got a meeting, got to go back meeting. I got this. And then I look at him like, ew. You know that face that I'm doing right now, that face? But I forget, once we get out on our date night, I love him again. He's so funny. He's so witty. I forget that during the week. It's like, okay, here's the remote. You're watching the game. Okay, bye. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
But you get to dress up and see why you fell in love.
Which is important.
Yes.
For you to be able to do that. So, ladies, communication is key. Date night is key. Lakeith, did you want to add anything?
Good. I was just going to say, I love what Elizabeth just said, you know, because my husband as well works 25 hours a day.
Thank you.
8 days a week. And one thing about him, he is a great provider as well. But I told him, look, you know, providing is not just financial.
Thank you.
Got to provide for me socially, emotionally, physically. So I had to teach him that because, you know, his whole thing of being a husband, like, I'm a provider, baby. I'm making sure we got this thing. We're building an empire. Yes. We're doing all these. And I'm like, well, on my to-do list, I got to take Jimmy to school. I got to pick something up. And then here, we going out.
Right.
I just need you to know I need to check you off my to-do list. We got things to do. So I think that's so important, like you said, just staying connected with that communication and keeping date night alive.
Oh, yeah, that's really important.
Really important.
Well, ladies, we are going to wrap up our show today. Before we do so, I want to give you guys an opportunity to just kind of let folks know where they can find you guys. Lakeith, if you can kind of let us know your social media handles so the listeners out there will be able to keep following you.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for having me on the show. I had a blast. Enjoy talking to you, ladies. And if you guys want to follow the Wife Coach and find out more about how I'm living this here wife style, follow me on Instagram at The Wife Coach. That's The Wife Coach on Instagram. On Facebook, it's Lakeith Brandenburg.
Okay, and you, Miss Elizabeth, how can folks find you?
I am on Instagram, Twitter, as Miss Fit One. That is MSFITONE. And I am also on Facebook as Elizabeth Colen, COLEN, and Health Coach. That's me.
All right, guys. And of course, I am your host, Teresa Murphy. You guys know how to find me. I am TMI Speaks on all social media handles. I want to thank all of the listeners out there today for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. And you guys have a great rest of the week on purpose.